Always enjoy singing that song and being built up by the thought, by the words, by the truthfulness contained therein. I love that phrase, we can safely trust the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever forget that. Always believe in that and always live, conduct yourself in keeping with that. As we talked about in our earlier study already today, it's not about my will, it's about His will. It's not about my think so, my opinion. It's about what has He made known? What has He revealed? What does He desire? I'm going to safely trust in that, and it will be well with my soul. Good things happen when we put all of our trust in the Lord. I hope you're doing that. We want to encourage that today and in each and every day of our lives. We are blessed to be here. It does seem that the year is passing rather rapidly. As Richard mentioned, it's already April the 2nd. You may have noticed yesterday, April the 1st, a day on your calendar designated as April's Fool's Day. We're going to say a little more about that in a bit. But I think you're showing some great wisdom by being here, by choosing that good part. So thankful for your presence. Especially good to see Mr. and Mrs. Brewer. And good to have Amelia Kleins with us for the first time. What a beautiful blessing. That baby, those beautiful children, mothers and fathers, you to be commended. Continue to see that your children early and often are sitting in assemblies like this, where God is revered, His truth is proclaimed, He is worshipped in spirit and in truth. But April Fool's Day, according to Wikipedia, April Fool's Day is widely recognized and celebrated as a day which tolerates practical jokes and general foolishness. The day is marked by the commission of good-humored or funny jokes, hoaxes, and other practical jokes of varying sophistication on friends, family members, teachers, neighbors, work associates, etc. Traditionally, in some countries, the jokes only last until noon, and someone who plays a trick after noon is called an April Fool. Elsewhere, such as in the United States, the jokes last all day. The earliest recorded association between April 1st and foolishness can be found in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales from 1392. And so, whatever that's worth, today I want us to take a more serious approach toward this matter of fools. And make no mistake about it, they are in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 12, the rich man there was said to be one. You remember Luke 12:20, this man had gathered up great possessions. He had torn down his barns. He had it all figured out. He was going to set back, eat, drink, be merry. Thought he had plenty of time. And what does God tell him in verse 20 of Luke 12? God says to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." He didn't have another day. He didn't have another week, didn't have another month, didn't have another year. He had left God out of his plans. He was thinking about the present, thinking of himself. How foolish. You go to Matthew chapter 23, some Pharisees, like the rich man of Luke 12, were also regarded as fools. Matthew 23 and verse 17, Jesus himself referred to them as fools and blind. They didn't see things spiritually that they should come to know, that they should see. You see it again in the 19th verse. Jesus speaking says to the Pharisees, "Fools and blind." Furthermore, in Galatians chapter 3, you see it with the Galatians. Galatians 3, Paul warns of their turning away from the true gospel. What a terrible deal they were making, giving up truth for a counterfeit. And so he rightly says to them in verse 1 of Galatians 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Now, ladies and gentlemen, fools can actually exist among those who are claiming to be wise. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, it was said there of unrighteous Gentiles professing to be wise, they became fools. How could it be that while professing to be wise, in reality they became fools? Well, they saw themselves one way, But no, by their fruits, by their decisions, by their behavior, in truth, they were something other than what they themselves envisioned. And so the Bible doesn't ignore this. The Bible shares this. There are those who have behaved foolishly. The book of Proverbs particularly shares some very detailed descriptions of a fool. And if you'll turn to Proverbs, Lord willing, we're going to stay right there. And no doubt some of the texts we'll cite today you've come across in times past. We're going to collect as many as we can here together for a time and impress upon your minds how often the Bible talks about fools or foolish behavior, and then hopefully motivate us to go and do differently. To seek out wisdom, to respect and admire wisdom, and to be those individuals who would then walk among the wise. And so let's go to the book of Proverbs. Consider some facts about a fool. First of all, let me impress upon your minds that the fool is evident. He or she will be easy enough to spot. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool, watch it now, lays open his folly. What does the fool do? The fool flaunts, brags about, exposes, openly displays his foolishness. You might say the fruits of a fruit are obvious. And eventually, both his words and his actions will give him away. You go to Proverbs 12, look at verse 23. Proverbs 12, 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. And so inwardly, their heart is corrupted. The heart is filled with folly, and they broadcast it everywhere. And they'll talk loud and proud as if though their folly was actually wisdom. In Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. And so they're going to open up and they're going to tell you. They're going to give themselves away. It utters abundantly and it so disgusts others. He's evident. He's obvious. Everybody can see right through it. They can see he's a fool. Everyone that is, except for him. And you may wonder, why is that the case? If it's so blatantly obvious to everybody else, why doesn't he see it? Probably because he just thinks too highly of himself. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right, where? In his own eyes. Oh, he's right. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. Matthew Henry says of the fool here, quote, he thinks he is in the right in everything he does, and therefore asks no advice, because he does not apprehend he needs it. He is confident he knows the way and cannot miss it, and therefore never inquires the way. The rule he goes by is to do that which is right in his own eyes, to walk in the way of his heart. Got it all figured out. Thinks so highly of himself and his ideas, he can never consider he could be wrong. In Proverbs 14 and verse 3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Scholars are divided here whether this rod refers to the pain his own pride will bring to him or the hurts that it will produce in others. It's unclear. But no good thing could be said of a mouth which is a rod of pride. Proverbs 30 and verse 32. Proverbs 30, 32, if you have been foolish, how? In exalting yourself? Or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Oh, how the foolish braggart simply needs to hush. But no, he thinks too highly of himself to do that. Perhaps that's why he repeats the same foolish things over and over and over. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Have you ever seen that? You ever had the unpleasant experience of knowing someone just like that? The Bible's there. The Bible talks about it. The Bible points it out. Don't do that. Don't be like that. But know that by words and by actions, others will see the foolish behavior. Facts about a fool, as was already implied, he won't listen. You can't tell him anything because why? We saw in Proverbs 12:15, he's got it all figured out. He's right in his own eyes. He won't heed godly advice or counsel, even from the ones who care about him, those who love him the most. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom, instruction, we should cry out for it. We should seek it. We should long for it. Recognize our need of it, but not so with the fool. They lack respect and appreciation for God's way. And sadly, this great treasure we know is the will of God, they take it for granted. Verse 22, Proverbs 1:22. It is asked, how long, you simple ones? We love simplicity. For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Folks, that's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Look at 10:8. Proverbs 10, verse 8. Notice the distinction. The wise in heart, what we're desiring to be, right? The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. That is, he won't receive commands. He won't accept instruction. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Some translations say he is senseless. He is brutish. He is a fool. Who is? The one who hates correction. The one who does not want to be reproved and rebuked and told the better, accurate way. Foolishness. So, so sad. Proverbs 18 and verse 2 puts it this way. A fool has no delight in understanding. What's he delight in? Keep reading. But in expressing his own heart. With the fool, it's about less of you, less of God, more of me. And so rather than submit, yield, do what God says, he just does what feels good. He just does what seems right. Proverbs 28:26, the warning, he who trusts where? In his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. I can trust in self, I can trust in my own heart, or I can trust in the Lord. We can safely trust the Lord. Wise ones. What about this business of the seems right way? Proverbs 16:25, I believe 14:12 as well. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. To have it all figured out, to not listen to anyone, to not seek correction and understanding, not wise, foolish. Thirdly, facts about a fool. Sin does not concern him. And with such arrogance, you wouldn't expect sin to bother him. The Bible makes it clear that's exactly the case. Proverbs 14:9, a fool mocks at sin. For him, it's all a big joke. It's just fun and games. Proverbs 10 and verse 23, to do evil is like sport to a fool. But a man of understanding has wisdom. Mischief is like laughter to a fool. It's natural. It's pleasant to him. Wickedness is his delight. It's his darling. It's how he pleases himself. You've seen it. The fool just laughs at sin. Instead of sorrowing, he boasts. He ridicules reproof. He laughs away truth. He laughs away what is right. And so he's just going through life by his own whims, no regard for the consequences of his actions. And have the wisdom to look down the road to see where this is going to take me. Proverbs 14 and verse 16, the wise man fears and departs from evil. But a fool rages and is self-confident. And so you come to that crossroads. The wise person is going to stop, going to size up the situation, give consideration, count the cost. But so with a fool. He or she presses on regardless, full steam ahead. It seems right. It's what I want to do. No one will tell me differently. Look at Proverbs 9, verses 13 through 18. A scenario far too often played out today. Proverbs 9, verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Wow. The sexual temptations and the gratification, the giving in, engaged in sexual immorality, who is doing this? The simple one. Who is leading them astray? The foolish one. Who is engaged in uncleanness? The one who lacks understanding. He does not consider the consequences. Foolish. Do not think about transgressing the will of God and desire to do everything I can to avoid that. No, sin does not concern him. Something else with the fool. He's a big talker. As we talked about earlier, he may not listen very well. But oh, he can sure talk. And unfortunately, he doesn't know when to stop. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. Proverbs 10, 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. In his commentary of verse 14, Adam Clark writes, quote, they, talking about the wise here, they keep secret everything that has a tendency to disturb domestic or public peace. But the foolish man blabs all out and produces much mischief. Think much, speak little, and always think before you speak. This will promote your own peace and that of your neighbor. Good advice. Proverbs 14:33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Just cannot turn the mouth off. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Now, whether this is just right face to face, whether this is on the telephone, whether this is across social media, just venting every little thing, narcissistic, really thinking everybody cares about every little thing that's going on. And the fool is doing that, venting all his feelings. Let's be careful, brethren. Sometimes we make that statement, you know, I'm thinking it, but I'm not going to say it. That's going to be wisdom at times. You may have a thought that it's best just kept to yourself at times. Don't go from being among the wise to being among the foolish by opening up and venting that. You know, the Bible tells us that people are going to tend to think more highly of those who can learn to just be quiet. Proverbs 17 and verse 28, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Why, even a fool is counted or considered wise by his peers when he shuts his lips. Bible says then, when he closes his mouth, when he refrains from talking, he's considered perceptive. My, the power of wide open ears and a tightly closed mouth. Foolish behavior. Listen, this is not a laughing matter. A foolish man can do a lot of harm, and not just to himself. Truth is, he's more dangerous than a bear robbed of her cubs. Love that imagery. Proverbs 17 and verse 12. Proverbs 17, 12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Wow. As much as that she bear would really do you some harm, really be enraged and could really tear you up. Ain't God's warning us something here about the dangers of becoming foolish ourselves? Our association with such an one? The fool does what? The fool gets too angry, too quickly, and stays that way for too long. Proverbs 12 and verse 16, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Wrath, quickly known? Foolish, not wise. Proverbs 14 and verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Watch the end of the March Madness. You ever see that on the sideline? See it in the crowd? A quick-tempered man? Not putting on their best behavior, are they? Verse 29, Proverbs 14, 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Yes. Know that. Not wisdom, it is foolishness. The impulsive one who snaps off quickly. Nothing pleasant about a hothead. Nothing pleasant in that scene of Will Smith getting up from his seat and walking up and slapping Kevin Hart. Quick temper. Impulsive. Folly. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 3. The Bible says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. According to Spurgeon, quote, because he will not forgive, the fool is sullen and revengeful, and his anger oppresses his own heart, and if he has power, his wrath becomes a sore burden to others. You ever seen that one? Someone in a position of power, of authority, who has this hot temper, who's the hot head, who behaves impulsively. You see why we're saying it's not a laughing matter. Great damage is done, and not to self. Something about that fool, he just loves confrontation. Never met a fight he didn't like. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth, listen, calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Some of you in your line of work, you see this. You're trying to be as peaceful as possible with all men. But some just won't quit. They're just asking for a fight. Not the wise ones, the foolish ones. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. You ever see anybody like that? You'd just rather fight, you'd just rather bicker, you'd just rather argue, just eat when you're hungry. Starting and keeping a quarrel, that tends to be the way of a fool. If you don't like it in others, you don't like it in a relative, you don't like it in a co-worker, if it's not impressive when he or she is doing it, it's not impressive when I'm guilty either. Heed the warning. Something else, little regard for others. It's no surprise that the fool then would slander others. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Be careful with your tongue. Be careful with your heart. What you are thinking about others. What you would say and spread about others. Be wise in your dealings. It's no surprise that the fool would bring grief and shame to his own parents. Proverbs 15 and verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 17, 21, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs 17, 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Grief, bitterness to father and mother, the foolish son. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father. I tell you, mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, you have no greater joy than to hear your children walk in the truth. And if you've got that, praise God for that. Count that great blessing. Do everything you can do to ensure that would always be the case, because I tell you, it's not that way in most homes. There's hurt, heartache, suffering, pain. Many are the moms and dads who are shedding tears today over the foolishness of their own child. The path chosen foolishly by their son or daughter. Foolishness. Finally, the fool is a poor steward. You've probably heard it said, a fool and his money are soon parted. That's not a quote from Proverbs, but the principle is certainly there. The Bible speaks how that luxury is out of place for a fool. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 10. Luxury is not fitting for a fool. I don't know if you've come across that one or not, but think about all the now broke lottery jackpot winners. Can you think about some of the bankrupt multi-million dollar musicians, professional athletes, those who earned $111 million in their NBA career and now they don't have money? Why is all that? God laid that all out. He told us it'd be that way. Lack of maturity, lack of wisdom in managing their riches. So much of the time, what the fool has, he'll waste. The Bible covers it. Proverbs 21, verse 20. These words, there is desirable treasure. There is oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. And as I've asked before already today, have you ever seen that? You recognize the truthfulness of that. All right. Let's stop right here and just let me say, it's not my intention to depress and discourage us all today. To the contrary, I want us to see the negativity in this kind of life. I want us to wake up, if we haven't already, to appreciate the ugliness and how terrible that it would be to not walk among the wise. Foolishness, not a pleasant thing. Someone may get to thinking, well, I wonder, is there any hope for the fool? Why, a life like that, with all the negativity, with all the destruction, with all the corruption, is there any hope? Here's the good news. Absolutely. Yes, there's hope for the fool if he will repent. There's just as much hope for the fool as there is for me if I will repent, if I will turn from my sin, if I will turn to the Lord on His terms. Foolishness now is not an easy habit to break. And even that's a warning in Scripture. Proverbs 27 and verse 22 takes me back to chemistry class. though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. And so there's the warning that it's going to be hard. Going to be hard to get it out of him. But it can be done. Proverbs 9 and verse 6, here's God's desire for you, for me, for any who have ever been engaged in foolish behavior of any kind. God's desire, Proverbs 9 verse 6, forsake foolishness and live. Get away from it. Cut it off. Run from it. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. The way that is true. The way that is right. The way that is wise. The way of the Lord. And finally, Proverbs 8 and verse 5. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. What's the message? I think one word. Change. Change. Wise up. Repent and be converted. Hard to talk about the subject of wisdom or foolishness and not go to Matthew chapter 7. But finally, Matthew chapter 7, you know the text, verses 24 through 27. Young people, what's Jesus talk about there? He talks about a distinction between a wise builder and a foolish builder. You remember, one builds on the rock, firm is his foundation. The other builds on the sand. The rains came, the floods descended, the winds blew and beat on that house. The one on the sand, great was its fall, right? The one on the rock, it stood firm. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. And Jesus takes that physical illustration, carpentry, building on a firm foundation. And he says there's two types of hearers out here. There are those who will hear these teachings, these sayings of mine. There'll be folks who are exposed to the doctrine of Christ. They'll heed, or they'll hear these warnings. Some will hear and do. Others will hear and not do. Pretty simple. Jesus says those who hear and do are like the wise man. They build on a firm foundation. Spiritually speaking, they're going to stand come what may. But they hear the instruction of Christ. They do it. Those who time and again hear the instruction of Christ, but they fail to do it, they won't make application, they won't submit, won't yield, won't obey, you can't tell them anything. That can be them if they desire. But it's foolish. Jesus says they're building as well. But it's on sand. And they're going to fall. And dear friend, I love you. I love you enough to tell you, if that's you, you're hearing the Word of God, you've heard the Gospel, but you've not yet obeyed, you're building on sand. You're going to fall. But you can repent. You can change. You can do. Would that be you today? Hearing the Word of God, do you believe Jesus is the Christ? If so, repent of your sin. Be ready to confess your faith in Christ. We can baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. That would be the wise thing. That's what we're encouraging. Don't be among the fools. Heed the instruction. Do the will of God. If you've obeyed in times past, but you've not continued faithfully, dear brother, dear sister, change, repent. Confess your fault, pray God for forgiveness. If you wish to obey the Lord's will, bid you come right now. As together we stand, as we sing.